This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. We have just a few days left now to the start of the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games in Normandy, and Todd Fletrich will be joining us later to reflect on the 2010 Games when he was a member of the team there with Otto. But before we hear from Todd, Chris Hickey joins us for our tip of the week. Chris is co-chair of the USDF Instructor Trainer Committee and a certified instructor through fourth level, as well as a member of the program's faculty. He is a USDF bronze, silver, and gold medalist, and was an individual and team gold medalist at the 2007 Pan American Games.
I thought today I would talk a little bit about how important it is for a horse to be, for a dressage horse, to be in front of the leg in the seat. For me, it's really very, very important. Whether it's a young horse or it's a horse training FEI exercises, because for me, starting collection needs to be with forward-thinking energy, and when the horses are not forward-thinking and not reactive to driving aids, not reactive to a quiet driving aid, collection is, being successful with a collection is, in my mind, impossible. I think that the first thing for me is I try to have my brain go in that direction right away in the beginning of my warm-up. If you have a horse that's a lazy type of horse or slow in the mechanics of its movement, meaning a big elastic horse that might be a little slow in the tempo, maybe big over the ground, but have a hard time when you compress the horse and try to bring the horse together, that it gets, that it's a little hard for those horses sometimes to stay active and stay quick under, in front of the horse, in front of the rider's aids. So for me, it makes it, those thoughts start in my warm up. And what I mean by that is that the horse needs to be reactive from a quiet driving aid off my leg and my seat and my calf, the lower leg muscle of my calf. I just gently give a squeeze from a passive, hanging, quiet, hanging, independent leg and a seat that's going with the horse, but not a constant driving seat. If I'm sitting passively and quietly and I give a leg aid, a small leg aid, and a gentle push with my hips, I want the horse to be reactive to that. For me, that that needs to start in the warm-up, because if we allow our horses to warm up, quote-unquote, behind the aids, and then all of a sudden we decide to flip a light switch, and then all of a sudden the horse is expected to be going forward from a light aid, I don't think that's fair to the horse. And I think a lot of riders don't realize it's not that that's not doing the horse any favors by letting the horse be behind the aids and non-reactive for 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden the horse is supposed to, you know, move uphill and carrying itself and forward thinking and have engagement of the hind legs carrying and big extensions. I just don't think that's fair. So me, this all starts in the warm-up, and one of the things I do with that is I do walk halt exercises and say to myself, okay, when I put my leg on, I want the horse to move forward from a light leg aid. If I give us the the aid on a scale of 1 to 10, if I give an aid for a 3 with my leg, of pressing, closing my leg on the horse, I want the horse to immediately march forward from that small aid. And when the horse doesn't march forward, I may I give it a stronger aid, and then I maybe give a small, quiet little nudge or a little spur or touch with the whip, something to that gets the point across. And then a big part of that correction after somebody needs to give a horse a correction from the leg is going back and retesting. You have to go back and retest and make sure the horse understood the correction, which means stopping again, coming to halt, closing my leg, and hopefully the horse marches on quicker with a marching energy from still that leg aid for a number three. I don't want to give bigger and bigger aids. I want to give small aids and make a quiet but effective correction in between if needed, so I'm still able to whisper with my aid instead of shout or yell or talk loudly with my aids. So that's really a huge piece for me, the promptness and the reactivity. If the horse isn't reactive to the aids, we're starting off, for me, I feel like we're already starting in a bit of trouble. And then that carries over in the walk-trot transitions and those simple trot-canter transitions in the warm-up, as well as how the horse is going sideways from a sideways driving leg in my simple leg yield. Even my FEI horses, every day they do leg yields. I do more leg yielding than I do of actual half passes. And saying to myself, okay, I'm going to put my leg on, my sideways driving leg, and what kind of a volume of that aid do I need to use in order to get the responsiveness and the reactiveness from the horse that I'm looking for? And using that same, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, the volume knob, I want to be able to keep the volume soft and have the horse basically in front of me and reacting to my leg, whether it's a sideways leg, a leg that's asking the horse to go sideways, as well as the leg that's asking the horse to go forward. I also use the transitions within the gates, a big forward marching walk, a small collected walk. I want to be able to affect the speed of the horse's hind legs as well as the amount of ground it's covering. If I make a big, slow over-the-ground walk, or I can bring the horse back and make a short, almost quick, but on purpose quick, you know, that it's quick, but it's on my aids because I'm creating the horse to be quick, not because the horse is running out of balance. Always the ability, I want to know that I can always surge forward. I tell people, when you're trotting along or cantering along or even walking along, do you feel that you trust the surge ability? I want to be able to surge forward from my leg whenever I want, at walk, trot, or canter. That's hugely important. Because for me, I don't like to collect a horse and ask for collection, which is taking the horse's weight back onto its haunches. I don't want to ask a horse for collection if I can't surge forward, because to me, it just gives a feeling of the horse being behind a leg and seat. And then that encourages riders to over-aid and aid constantly and just constant driving, and I want to be able to make a driving aid into a restraining aid and soften and go with the motion, go with the horse in a passive way rather than constantly my foot on the gas pedal. I really want to make sure that I can go forward, and I tell people you need to be able to ride the horse like you're driving a car on the Autobahn. You want to be able to take your foot off the gas pedal after you've pushed the cruise control button. I think push the cruise control button, and as a rider, I want to be able to go with the horse and allow the horse to stay at that same rate of speed without my foot on the gas pedal the whole time. So that means the horse has to be reactive to the driving aid in the first place. One of the reasons this is so important for me is that in a high degree of collection for canter pirouettes and piafetage, we take the horses back so much, but when we're taking the horses back, it needs to be an addition of energy and power, not a reduction of power or energy. So when I'm training canter pirouettes, I want to be able to take the horses back, collected canter on the spot, a little bit like it is in the fourth level test one, where you collect the canter on the spot, and that should be an addition of energy in the horses jumping up off the ground more. It's not that, and the horse should take the rider's seat in the same size, the same big canter. Our goal is that it's a big canter covering a small amount of ground rather than a big canter coming in the collected canter, and then the horse sort of falls out and slams on the brakes and shuffles around in this little stuck short canter. That, for me, is not a canter that is that the rider is going to be able to successfully take the horse back on the haunches and begin the turn of a pirouette. And it's the same thing for the Piaf and Passage. In the Piaf and Passage, it's really an addition of energy and power, even though you're covering less ground. And that forward thinking and the horse really trotting through the body within the Piaf and the Passage work, that to me is evident when, it's much more evident when you can see that there's medium trot or there's energy for medium trot within that kind of collection rather than less energy. And I was always taught that one of the best rewards we can give the horses is that we are sitting quietly and leaving the horse alone to do its job. And when the horse isn't truly in front of the aids, it doesn't give the rider a feeling that they can just sit there and let the horse do its job. When you relax, people don't realize when they are constantly driving aids, constant driving aids, and then they take away those driving aids. You've trained the horse to go only when you're driving constantly, rather than teaching the horse to react to go forward from a light aid, and then that aid going away and being passive and the rider being taken by the horse. And I think that often, because I feel like that's more beneficial to the horse than us giving it sugar or patting it, or, I mean, praise is super, but the horse taking us forward on its own and forward thinking with a happy expression is, to me, the best reward that we can give our horses, that we can get out of their way and just go with them with independent aids. For me, that's one of the best feelings, whether it's in working trot or if it's coming back in preparation of a canter pirouette, that I have faith that my horse is really truly in front of my aid in a quiet, relaxed, balanced way and without pressure. For me, that's a super goal, that it's super feeling when I achieve that, and that's my goal during my riding.
We continue our countdown now to this year's World Equestrian Games, as Todd Fletrich remembers the 2010 World Equestrian Games that were held in Lexington, Kentucky, when he was a member of the team riding Otto, and also on that team were Stefan Peters with Ravel, Tina Conyat with Colecto V, and Catherine Bateson Chandler with Nartan. Although the team just missed out on a medal, Stefan Peters and Ravel won the individual bronze medal. For the American fans, it was, of course, a momentous occasion to be hosting the Games and to win an individual medal. But let's find out what it was really like to be a member of that team. Hello, Todd. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we are going to take a walk down memory lane. Just 4 years ago, you were part of the squad on home territory, of course. That makes a big difference, doesn't it, to have the home crowd cheering you on as well?
Absolutely. The World Equestrian Games in Kentucky was actually really special for me because all of my previous trainers were there from childhood. And actually, woman, one of the ladies that was my very first contributors to my career, passed away shortly after. So, and she was there, so it was very special to me. Other than the writing, it was also that part of my family. My family was there also. So my riding family and my family were there. Perfect. Very special.
Tell us a little bit about your partnership with Otto, because you took over the ride fairly recently prior to that from Heather Blitz. How were you feeling about your partnership with him going into the Games?
I would say, honestly, in my own thinking, this is my goal really was London with him. And things came up a little bit fast. Obviously, I was competing Grand Prix and I was fairly consistent. Otto was not at his best that he could be. We were not at our best yet. But our consistency was still there. Even though not making mistakes and things like that, but he had a lot more to offer than what I had at the World Equestrian Games. And it was partly due to the new combo, and also we did a lot of traveling. We never had time to regroup. We went from America to Europe to America. You know, it was constantly there, and which is fine, but it was new to me also that I had competed in Europe already on a previous horse, but this was a little different with Otto. So he was a very special horse with very special needs, and I was still getting to know him. I felt confident because that we were consistent, but I surely wish that we were as good as we were trying out for the London team. I had a great time, and I thought that the performance was probably as good as I could have done with the amount of pressure at that time. It certainly made me mature as a rider. I learned that I needed to not... I lost a lot of my... I must backtrack. I lost a lot of my group. That my own trainer was not there the day of warming up because of the team situation, and I lost some of my comfort zone. And so it taught me a lot about not depending on other people and doing my own thing. Yet being supportive of the team. I don't mean that. I mean by as doing what you need to do as a rider and as a partner with your horse to make you feel comfortable and the horse feel comfortable. And part of that I did not have at the WAG, which made the big difference a year later, which was for London. There was a big difference in both of us, both Otto and myself, because I changed my thinking about and became more, I do what I need to do as far as riding and being my own person and working on us as a team. I hope I'm not babbling on, but I'm emphasizing that I did learn a lot by being at the WAG, and even though it was a great experience and I deserved to be there because my scores were good, but I feel that I got better after the WAG.
Well, let's back up because, of course, it was part of a whole process, the selection trials, and then finding out that you were good enough to be on that team. And when you realized that you'd made it, let's talk a little bit about how you felt as a rider going into a World Equestrian Games in your home country representing your team. Must have been a very special moment knowing that you had that to look forward to, but also comes with it the pressure and the responsibility. Todd, talk a little bit about that as you were heading to the horse park in Kentucky.
For me, I actually felt more comfortable because it was my home country. I was very honored. I think that they did a fabulous job with Lexington preparing it for us. I went around the arena and I thought, well, I wasn't so nervous because I felt, well, I'm here. I was good enough to make it here. I'm here. I'll do the best I can. So, and I'm pretty good like that. I feel very, once I'm there, the pressure is over. But there was probably the most pressure was, or unfortunate thing, was that we really needed to get a certain score to be able to make a heat at London. We needed to become, I think it was fifth place or better, at least fifth place or sixth place, to get our status to be able to compete at London. which we're in the same predicament now, that we need to do well at the Pan Am Games and the World Equestrian Games, or and or World Equestrian Games, to have our status to compete at Rio. So that was a lot of pressure. First, I had been on the Aachen team before, but I had never been on the World Equestrian Games team or the Olympic team. So there's always a bit of pressure there. But in general, I felt more comfortable and honored to be in our own country, to be in Lexington, especially how beautiful places. There are not many facilities like that in the world that can what they host for this. And Europe has worlds of magnificent shows, but we have all of that acreage and all of the spread out, how beautiful was horse country.
There must have been wonderful team camaraderie as you prepared for the Grand Prix, the opening competition there. As you mentioned, the qualification was very important for the London Olympics. The team just missed out on a medal, as I mentioned earlier, finishing in fourth place. But talk a little bit about the team as a whole, Todd, going into that Grand Prix and supporting each other. What was that like for all of you?
I've always enjoyed team camaraderie, and I felt that we had a very good team. Stefan is on many teams, but he's also a friend for many years. And Catherine Bateson has been a very good friend since we were into our childhood. I've known Tina Konya since I was a child. We were all there for each other. We did socialize quite a bit. I don't think there was any negative energy at all, which is kind of, that's special, because sometimes when we're in our home at home and not competing on a team, we were only concerned about ourselves and what we had to do. And when we were on the team, it was so nice to have everyone being supportive and being there for you. That's very special. I happen to already be friends with all of them before there, so it was just like another occasion, which is also special. That's also makes you more comfortable. I knew everyone already.
Well, there was obviously a level of comfort for you with the team spirit and camaraderie that you had. But what was it like riding into the Rolex Arena? Because that was a very special world stage upon which to perform.
Wow. It was really, they did a fabulous job. They actually, the normal Kentucky arena doesn't compare to it. It felt like you were truly on a stage. And you know, the spectators are technically higher than we are when we're competing. But when you go in that arena, you feel like you're on stage. You're higher than them, than the audience. And there wasn't any room. It's so nice to see a competition, you know, to go to a competition and not really see much space for people to sit because the stands are filled, especially not just the competing, but the opening ceremonies was spectacular. The light show, the performances, although we had to all wait as a parade. We paraded through the arena and lined up, and all the performances went on, and that was spectacular. It made you feel as if it was the Olympics.
Yes.
I mean, I say the World Equestrian Games is technically probably has more competitors in it in the horse world, but it's not as glamorous, as you say, as the Olympics, because more people know about the Olympics. Not because it's just as big, if not bigger, for the equestrian sports. But it was grand. It was really grand.
Now, what about the nerves, though, and what did Otto think to riding in that space, to working in that space? Because quite something for a horse to go into that space.
Yes, you know, and one thing, Heather's a good friend of mine, so, and Heather said to me, I asked about how he was when he was young, she said to me that he doesn't bother by his surroundings. And I totally believed it, and I competed him over and over in many competitions. And what was phenomenal was Otto was okay with you. He was okay with anywhere you brought him. And he warmed up with how he warmed up. He went into the arena and performed. So many people over time and time again say, "Oh, I won the warm up." Otto, if he was good in the warm up, he was good in the ring. And if he was happy with you, he was happy in the ring. He was very special that way. I mean, he was a little bit. I considered. I called him a big mare. because he was very sensitive and a little bit didn't like you told twice. Things like that. It's very special in his character. I hope to one day have a horse as wonderful as he is again that did not be bothered by this. In fact, the more atmosphere, the better he performed.
What kind of feeling did you have as you left the arena?
I was a little bummed out because I had made no mistakes other than the last center. You know, all obviously things I did wasn't faultless. I could have been better, but the actual there were no obvious mistakes other than the center line. And Otto had one time before stopped at center line and the Piaf. And obvious his best one of his best features was his Piaf, and he was very gifted in that. And he stopped in the Piaf and went on, continued, but he stopped, hesitated. So it really killed me. It really stopped, paid me maybe pay. And I guess I must say I am a little I feel that it was partly the training's fault because I was made to practice it over and over again. I believe that was not the best thing for us. Because he felt it was being, I thought he felt it was being punished by repeating it. And not that he was abused or anything, there was nothing violent about it, but we did it, too often. And sure enough, came down the center line and he said, that's, and then went on. But it killed me, the scores. And that was two scores here, the transition and the Piaf. That's what made my score lower than it should have been. So I was a little disappointed. I was disappointed, but I was still, there was no hard feelings. I was perfectly happy that, you know, my first time on the team, I was honored to be there, and I promised to go back and be better. So I did. I didn't go back on the team, but I certainly made things much better.
Well, obviously, a very special occasion to be an American rider in a World Equestrian Games hosted in the U.S. So what were your biggest takeaways from the competition as a whole? I mean, obviously you were there to support the rest, but what about the rest of the event and what you took home? What would be your biggest takeaways there?
I had a phenomenal time. So for me, being there in such an atmosphere with all of the best riders in the world, I had a great time. And my lesson learned was that I needed to be more independent and to listen to myself. And better. And meaning by not waiting for someone else, maybe a trainer or someone that to assist me too much. I've been a trainer myself for many years, and I try to be a good student. And I think that when you're in the arena, you're by yourself and with your horse, and that needs to be a very important thing to think about, and that you should not depend on other people too much to get you someplace. And I did. So I learned that lesson. So the two things that I want to say, I enjoyed myself tremendously at the WAG, and I was honored to be there. And the lesson learned is that I became more independent and as a rider and as a trainer.
Well, obviously fond memories of those 2010
yes.
World Equestrian Games for you, Todd.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I hope to do it again.
Well, let's hope we see you back on the team again, Todd. I want to thank you very much indeed for sharing your memories of those games with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And a reminder that the opening ceremony of this year's Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games in Normandy takes place on Saturday, the 23rd of August. The team championship, the 2 days of Grand Prix, begin on Monday, the 25th through the 26th. Followed by the Grand Prix Special on the 27th, then a rest day on the 28th, followed by the Freestyle on Friday the 29th of August. You can follow all the action in our WEG blog on the website at usdf.org. And while you're on the website, be sure to visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning centre and resource for dressage and equine education. And remember that this podcast is available for download on iTunes to your smartphone podcast app, so you can listen to them on the go. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.